The following message is presented by Fellowship Bible Church from its weekly pulpit ministry. We offer an expositional study through entire books of the Bible, one verse, paragraph, or chapter at a time. We pray that you'll be blessed by listening in. Thanks for visiting. We're glad to have David and Christy Flink with us and their family. What a blessing it's been for us. As you know, I was privileged to spend a couple of days with them in their home, really now, Antofagasta, Chile. And we enjoyed that in October, end of October, I guess, or mid-October last year. And now they've come on furlough, and they are here visiting, supporting churches, and so on. So we're glad for that, for them to be here today. So David is going to have this service and the morning worship service, and then I'll be speaking tonight around the Lord's table. So that's our general plan for the day. Let me open in prayer, and then we'll let him take the rest of the time here this morning. Heavenly Father, we open our service this morning and our day, really, in a way with this prayer. We'll say our morning prayer. Lord, we come before you and ask that you will wake up our hearts with the sound of your word and the good news from a far country where wonderful things are happening for the sake of the gospel of Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will instill in us through your servant this morning a great increased zeal for reaching the lost in our own community, in our own Antofagasta, as it were, in our own Jerusalem and Ann Arbor, Michigan here. And Lord, we pray that you will bless David as he shares with us today and his whole family. Thank you for each one of them and for their participation in the Great Commission. We ask these favors and give these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. While I get the screen up and maybe some lights dimmed a little bit up here in the front, we're going to be spending this Sunday school hour sharing our PowerPoint on what God has been doing the last 4 years in Antofagasta, Chile. Maybe the wall, the one on the wall would help, I think. Thank you. Allow me to read a few verses just to start out this hour here in Psalm 96. Psalm 96 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Today we would like to share with you what God has been doing in northern Chile these past 4 years. We were here on furlough 4 years ago. We had the privilege of being with you in 2013, and we would like to update you on what has been happening. First, introduce my family, my wife Christy, and we have four kids, Jordan, Ben, Kaylee, and Lucas. And we've been in Chile 8 years now, and in our particular city for 6 years in Antofagasta. We serve with GMSA. You are familiar with Gospel Mission of South America, and this is the Chile team. These are our co-workers in Chile. We're very thankful for them and their support and prayers, and we have the opportunity of serving with them in Chile, South America. Remember, Chile is a very long country, and so we don't get to see them very often because we live so far away from them. We live about 5,000 miles from Ann Arbor, 5,000 miles away. In Chile, South America, Chile's 2,700 miles long. That is from New York City to L.A. long. That's how long Chile is. And it's average about 100 miles wide on average. And we live in the northern part of Chile. Chile is divided up in regions, and we live in the second region, also called Antofagasta. And if you notice, we live in the widest part of Chile in our region, this is the widest part. It's over 150 miles, closer to 200 miles. We live in the Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world. But our city is right on the Pacific Ocean. We live right on the Pacific Ocean. This is what the Atacama Desert looks like. It is a dry desert. It hardly ever rains. No cactus, no shrubs. It's just a big sandbox. And that desert comes right up to the ocean. It's a real surreal look. Usually you think of the coastline of an ocean, and what do you think of? Palm trees, some type of vegetation, right? But not where we live. Our city is also very long and narrow. It's like Chile in miniature. It's 25 miles long and about a half a mile wide. And we live on the southern part of the city here in a neighborhood called Koviefi. Just as you enjoy sledding in the wintertime, our kids, we don't get to have snow, but near our house there's hills where you can slide down on sand. Here's one of my sons, Lucas, sliding down on sand. Our city is a very dry city. Here's an above picture of the greenest park that we have. So on the way to church today, I'm driving through these streets and it's covered with trees. It's amazing. It's like green overload for us. This patch of grass at the stadium is probably the biggest patch of grass we have in our city for the professional soccer team. And sometimes we'll go down to the stadium and they're cutting the grass and we go by the dumpster where all the grass clippings are just to smell that smell again. We miss that smell. Antofagasta is a port city, as you can see in the picture. The port city, it's a major port for all of the mining industry in northern Chile. Copper, lithium, magnesium, gold, silver. And a list of other minor metals that are mined in northern Chile. Copper is king where we live. Copper mining is a multi-billion dollar industry that is affecting our region. Most of the copper is shipped to China and Asia for the demand of construction. Lithium is also booming because lithium is a metal that is used primarily for what? Batteries, cell phone batteries, laptop batteries. It's all going out of our region. Our region produces 13% of the global copper production. 13% is coming from our region. Think the state of Michigan size. Our region is producing 13% of the copper. So a major port city, a lot of people are coming in to work. The population of the city is roughly 400,000 people. Matt, how many did you say live in Ann Arbor? 115. Okay, to just give you a general idea. And because of that, a lot of people and families are moving in. You can see new housing developments going in. The amount of apartment buildings that are being built. This is our neighborhood in Koviefi. This is where Pastor Matt came to visit us. We live on the side of a mountain, on what would you call a plateau. See the amount of apartment buildings. In this picture, I think in this part right here is the only part you can see some type of earth. You can see the lack of trees. This is not Ann Arbor. There is no arbors there. So construction is booming. A lot of young men are moving into town, not only to work in the mines, but also in construction. New developments are going into the city as well. Young families are moving there for jobs. Wonderful opportunity that we have to be in this city to plant a local church. We also have an influx of immigrants, mostly Colombians, but Peruvians, Bolivians, Chinese are there. There's a group of expatriates, English-speaking expatriates, meaning they're living and working outside of their country, coming to northern Chile to work in the mining industry, working for Komatsu, working for Caterpillar, and other industries. So we have a great opportunity. The world is coming to us in Antofagasta. Antofagasta is changing in its demographics. And so the church that the Lord is planting has a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel not only to Chileans, but to the world that is moving into our city. Chile is predominantly Catholic, mostly in name only. They do not, there is a high percentage of Catholics who do not practice their doctrine, nor do they really know what they believe. They're just, their family has been Catholic, so they're Catholic. But in our city, in particular, materialism, narcissism, I'm just worried about what I'm going to do. I have money. Why do I need God? That is prevalent for where we live in Antofagasta. We have an urgency to share the message of Jesus Christ, because each one of us will die at some point, and the Bible teaches us that our destination, or I don't want to say destiny, our destination without Christ is separation from Him in hell. So we do have an urgency to share Jesus Christ's message of salvation and forgiveness of sins in our city. And so that's what we've been doing. Our city loves to eat up people spiritually. They are attracted to our city because they can get quick money. It's like the American dream. Come to our city, you'll get rich quick. And that may happen. But meanwhile, their lives spiritually are destroyed. Families, marriages are destroyed because of greed. And it's a sad thing. But we have seen God work using His Word of God. And this is where something green has been growing in the middle of the desert spiritually. This is where the Antofagasta church plant has been flourishing the last few years. And this church plant may look like this someday. A diverse group of believers who the only thing in common that they have is Jesus Christ. They may look different. They may speak different languages. They may be from different classes. Some might be professionals. Some might be blue-collar workers. But the goal that we have is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see a local church planted that the whole world can come and worship together in Antofagasta. So we're very thankful to share with you in the past 4 years, the church has been flourishing a little bit more in the desert. And that is only because of God. This picture here was taken after a little bit of rain fell outside of our city. And I mean a little bit of rain, probably 0.1 inches of rain. It sprinkled, really. But you can see how something flourished because of the seeds that were in the sand. We were thankful to have Pastor Matt come and visit us. I know that he and his family pray for us. I know that you guys do as well. And you guys have been following what God has been doing there in Antofagasta for many years now. So thank you again, Matt, for coming. He was with us. It was a lightning trip, and he was under the weather a little bit. But we're so thankful that he was able to come. So thank you so much for allowing him to leave for a couple weeks. I think he was down in Chile. So thank you to your church. Just want to update you on a couple of things, highlights from this past term. In 2014, one of the main challenges and highlights, blessings, was expanding our first floor living room a little bit to accommodate more people. We meet in our home in 2014. This is the view from the pulpit. This is how much room that we had in our first floor living room in our home. And we needed to expand this space, so we knocked out this wall and moved it out to here. We had an outdoor porch that we enclosed. And it was really neat to see how the believers pitched in to help, prayerfully, financially, and with elbow grease, putting their hands to the trowel and helping that get done. Our children also were involved in the work. They're helping out. Here's a picture of the house halfway through the project, putting the roof on. Some of the men working, actually taking a break from work in this picture. And here's what it looked like when it's finished. And when Pastor Matt came down, this is what he was able to see. We are now able to utilize this new space. Not a lot, but it's something that we needed. So we're very thankful for God's provision for this expansion project. And in 2014, that was one of the major blessings and challenges for our believers there in Antofagasta. So we're really thankful that the Lord has provided Gospel Mission of South America to buy this home in 2012 to be used in the first phases of the church plant. The goal is to buy land and move the church out of our home. And we are approaching that limit of space, and we're praying that the Lord will provide for that need. Here's a picture of the Sunday when we had a dedication service to the new addition. And as you can see, with the new addition in the back, even in 2015, 2 years ago, we are quickly filling up this space. This is a picture of the group in 2016. Specifically, when all these seated here, they came to visit us from Ohio. But the rest of the group is our group from Antofagasta. So as you can see, the Lord has been blessing throughout the years, bringing new people, new individuals, new families to the church plant. We also use the same space for meals. I understand today we're going to have a meal after the morning service. And you have that over there in the fellowship hall. Our fellowship hall is the same spot. Matter of fact, every Sunday when I say amen, everyone stands up. We fold our chairs, put them to the wall, and it becomes our foyer. And that's our normal. That's what we're used to. This is the space that we're using in the ministry right now. On Wednesday nights, we have prayer meetings, and here's a few pictures of what they look like. Two times a month, we have it in our home, and two times a month, we have it in a believer's home. So this is a picture of prayer meeting in another family's home, about 26 people sitting down, elbow to elbow, reading God's Word, singing to the Lord and spending time in prayer. Here's a picture of prayer meeting in our home when Pastor Bill Hickson and his wife were able to come. They're from Athens, Ohio. A few other pictures of other prayer meetings in homes, simply gathering together in people's homes. It's a wonderful thing from a pastor's perspective to see people opening up their homes in hospitality to have a service. Simple, nothing fancy, but a very needed thing in the life of the believers. My wife Christy is involved in the ministry in the following ways. She teaches Sunday school. She teaches Sunday school in our garage. This is a picture of our garage. So every Sunday morning at about 9 o'clock, I take the car out and park it a couple blocks away and turn this garage area into her Sunday school class. This garage is not covered. It's just covered for sun, so it's not sealed. But she has her class all year round, outdoors. In Antofagasta, our climate is very mild, so she's able to have her class outdoors all year round. The other Sunday school class for children we have in our kitchen and our dining room. This is a picture of that class. In this particular picture, this is where class that our son Lucas was in for a time. So we're utilizing the space that God has given us now and praying for His provision for facilities that will have a place to have services and Sunday schools, bathrooms, parking, all of those things. A wonderful blessing. Christmas programs. Also, we provide ladies' Bible studies once a month. Christy teaches the ladies once a month. It's a picture of our mothers in our church and a picture of all of the ladies and their daughters in our church. We have a good group of ladies in our church. I also teach once a month a men's Bible study, very similar to what happened yesterday here with my two boys. I was able to attend and listen to Vincent teach from God's Word. We have a ministry to the men where we get together. Last year we studied the book of Ecclesiastes together throughout the year. There's a picture of some of our fathers and their children in our church. Our privilege and responsibility is to pour our lives into others. And I'm pouring my life into this man. He's a young married man with three young kids and thinking about going into ministry. And pray for him. He desires to serve the Lord with his life, with his talents. Another young man that has come to the Antofagasta ministry is Pastor Andres. He's behind the pulpit there. Young graduate from the Bible Institute, recently married, and he's been doing an internship with me, and I've been able to help him in ministry, and he's been a big help to us as well. Recently, we just had a baptism, and he was there to help as well. My two boys were baptized, and then a lady in the middle named Maria Jose, or Mary Jo, she was baptized this past February or March. It was March. Here's our baptismal, the Pacific Ocean, looking for a little spot where we're not going to get crushed by the waves, and beautiful opportunity to have the service outside, the believers finding their rock to sit on and watching this great event for a church plant, another baptism. A couple other ministries that we get to involve ourselves with throughout the years, teaching and helping in camping ministry, Christian camping ministry. Here's a picture of a youth camp, a youth retreat that I was able to go to this past year. And also a ministry that Pastor Matt was able to come and be a great blessing to our national pastors. Last October, he was able to come and speak to them, to us, on various topics and doctrines that are needed to be enforced, readdressed, or just encourage us to continue to study. And I believe Pastor Matt is coming down again this next year to do that. And his ministry was greatly appreciated. And us as missionaries as well play a big role in these pastors' lives, encouraging them in the ministry by having these conferences. Here's a picture of our group just a couple of months ago, right before furlough. We're really excited what God's going to be doing here in the next term. We have seen His hand move in the hearts of our people. This is a sculpture just outside of our city of a big hand in the middle of nowhere. There's a hand in the desert. And it's a great illustration that I like to use of how God's hand is moving, working sovereignly in the middle of nowhere in northern Chile. We have a lot of young professionals in our church from all over the place. Because of work, they're coming to our city. So oftentimes, our ministry to these type of to our unsaved friends is around our kitchen table. Hospitality. Don't forget the art and ministry of hospitality. The Bible talks about it and emphasizes it often in the life of a believer. 2017, we're on furlough. While we're on furlough, Andres and Cecilia are taking over the ministry while we're gone. He's preaching. He's acting as he is the pastor of the local body while I'm gone. And the goal is in 2018, when we get back from furlough, that he'll continue doing an internship with us, with the end goal of the church calling him as the national pastor. Please pray about that. That's a wonderful opportunity that we have. So this is the current church planting team that we have in Antofagasta. Mark and Becca Perry from Westerville Bible Church near Columbus, they have joined the mission. They have raised support in like 15 months. They have almost completed their language study in the States, and they're joining our team in 2018 as well. So when we go back for furlough for this next term, we have a team of church planters that are going to be working together, and we're excited about that. The Lord has answered our prayers, giving us some co-workers to serve with. So please pray for our family. Pray for our church. Something green is growing in the desert in northern Chile. We do have a ministry Facebook page called Flinks in Chile. Please check it out. It's a great opportunity to learn fresh updates and photos and videos on a weekly basis. At the back table, we do have prayer cards for our family and also for Mark and Becca Perry. So just a couple of prayer requests. Pray for our children. Pray for them on furlough. A lot of changes for them, for us coming back, going through reverse culture shock, coming back to the States after living in another country for 4 years. Pray for the church planting team, for Pastor Andres and Cecilia and Mark and Becca Perry. Pray for us as we start to gel together this next term and serve the Lord in northern Chile. Pray for the establishment of the local church. We are on the verge of establishing it formally. That is on the front burner. It's on our radar, and we're really excited to see how the Lord is putting the pieces together, a national pastor, membership, documents, all of those things are on the radar, and we'd really like to see that done here in the next four years or the next term. Pray for land and building for the church. We're trusting the Lord to provide for our needs. We live in one of the most expensive cities in Chile because of the mining culture. It's a boom town. Everything is more expensive. But we serve the Lord who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the owner of all the mines. And to provide the funds for land is nothing to him. So pray for us as we wait on him. It'll be exciting to see how he will provide for this need this next term. Pray for open doors for future ministry, Lord willing, in Antofagasta when this church has been planted. The Perrys in our family, we desire to move somewhere else in the northern region of Chile. So a lot of these other cities and towns we are praying about, Lord, where will we go next? This is kind of two or three steps down the way, but please pray about that the Lord will open doors and providentially lead us to the next opportunity to plant a church in northern Chile. I'm going to stop there. We have two or three minutes for questions. Anybody have a question or maybe a comment? Maybe in the presentation you had a question or a doubt about something I said. The time is yours. Anybody have a question or a comment about the presentation, about our city, about the ministry in Chile? Yes.
What language do you use as the language in your church?
Spanish. Spanish. Although, since we've had some people who have been coming who speak English, I have been producing my sermons also in English. It's really in Spanish and English in one document for them, so they can continue to follow along. They're learning Spanish, but they would like to kind of get the gist of what I'm saying. So,
Spanish is
the national language. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, there are no trees where we live, so wood is very expensive. So we don't have wood stoves. We have a mild climate, so we don't need wood for getting warmth. But for building, it's mostly cement and block. But occasionally you'll need some wood for some trim or something. And that's shipped in from southern Chile. Mm-hmm. All of that needs to be shipped to our city, thus making it more expensive. Great, great question. I was born and raised in Minnesota. I was born in a pastor's home. So my parents played a big role in my upbringing. I went to Northland Baptist Bible College in Wisconsin and majored in the Bible and missions. Also went to seminary in Minneapolis. 1 year of language school in southern Texas. And we moved to Chile in 2009. So quite a bit of preparation going into serving on the foreign field. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning Spanish. I'm still learning the culture. Fluency is a lifelong pursuit. Yes, sir. Yes. 30 to 40% of our water for the city comes from a desalinization plant. And the city is expanding that plant. It's really going to be two plants. And that is it's a needed thing because water is so expensive from where we live. The rest of the water comes from the Andes Mountains, the snow runoff, in big pipes over the desert. It's not ideal, but that's how we get our water. And it's very expensive water. Anybody else? Yeah, construction in Chile is a big deal because we are an earthquake country. So we have very strict building codes for strong foundations, cement and rebar every 3 meters. Because we live in such an earthquake country. It is rare to find buildings that are just made of wood because of the expense and because of building codes. So those things come into play here as the Lord will provide a land and a building for us that we need to design a building that will be earthquake ready and obviously serve in the ministry. Well, we're going to be here all day. If there's any more questions, please grab us at the table in the back or maybe around the lunch table after the morning service. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to share what you have been doing in northern Chile these past 4 years. In Jesus' name, amen.